Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Sean Mo Hoops podcast. It's been a while, but I've got frequent podcast visitor Mikey V back on the set. The draft guru is here to talk college hoops. And the last time we recorded a podcast, it was in October. We had both been to the USA basketball camp. So we're talking about some of the next up-and-comers. But here we are a good month into the season. And today we had a few more undefeated teams go down, and we've had a wild and crazy year so far. Mikey V, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, Sean. Thank you for having me, and it's good to be back on the Sean Mo Hoops podcast.
Yeah, last year we were rocking and rolling at this time, talking about Brandon Clark and why Coby White was better than Trey Jones and a bunch of other hot topics. But this year it's been a little quiet on our end, but I know you've been very busy going to some games, so I know we will talk about what's going on in the college hoops world, especially tonight with Louisville going down, Butler went down, and Maryland went down, so three undefeated teams. But you've been busy covering a lot of the West Coast and seeing a lot of the potential first-round draft picks so far. So why don't you tell us who you've seen and some of the games you've been to so far?
Sounds good. I have been to a bunch of Oregon games, and the first game of the season was against Fresno State, so nothing major of note there, except I did finally get a chance to see Chris Duarte play a Pac-12 game, and Shakur Justin, who had just transferred from UNLV, and those guys have been like absolutely instrumental to how well the Ducks have done so far. Another guy I got to see him in high school, and he's actually brothers with Peyton Pritchard, but Anthony Mathis, particular. The next game I saw was the Boise State game, and he went 9-for-11 from three, and against Memphis also was fantastic, was shooting super well on the season, still is at 51% and 90% from the line. However, in Bahamas, his jumper kind of failed him, and there's not a lot other to his game than that. With Duarte, I feel like, you know, he brings a little bit of playmaking, and he's another guy besides Peyton Pritchard who can create his own shot. And Justin is just really tough, good hard-nosed defender, and not like a big above-the-rim guy, but he's working on that outside shot. And he was their most consistent post player. And those were like the first couple games. And then I got to see another couple with
then you saw some Memphis increased competition, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the Memphis game, which was during the PK Invitational, it was a great doubleheader. I got to see Oregon play Memphis. That was the first game, and then Oregon State played Oklahoma. I had done the doubleheader that Saturday before the Tuesday event. And that doubleheader was I got to see Iowa State play Oregon State, and they have a couple prospects that I like quite a bit on Iowa State. We'll say that Oregon State's Trace Tinkle had a fantastic game against Iowa State and was shooting very well from the outside. You know, could play make off the bounce, and just seems like he's going to have a tremendous senior year after having a really solid college career thus far. It was really cool to see Tyrese Halliburton live, and you saw just like how impactful he was as a passer and defender, and like really smart defender, just knowing where to be, getting into passing lanes, and then his passing ability. Like, he would set up plays where, you know, it was just something you weren't even expecting. Getting passes into pockets you didn't even know like were there, And then the other guy that stood out for Iowa State was George Condit. And yep. he's a center, a sophomore. And he, I believe sophomore, yeah. He was good rim protector. Even played for Dominican Republic. And I know, like, in, like, FIBA U18s. And he was good around the basket. He had a couple plays that I thought were just, like, really smart plays. Like, I remember one time he had, like, an offensive rebound where he saw a guy in front of him and just, like, tipped it right to that guy, not just, like, a, you know, kind of, like, whirling dervish kind of tip outside. But he tipped it forward to the guy to have a good shot. The guy missed the shot, and then he got the offensive rebound and scored. Condit did. So, yeah, it was cool seeing him. And then in that Boise State game, I got to see Derek Alston Jr. And it was, like, you know, it was close for a while. But then it kind of turned into a shellacking. But Derek Alston still showed quite a bit. He shot pretty well. His shot is a little slow, but he certainly has some ability, and I know he's on the NBA radar right now.
Is he, but, yeah. Is he draft worthy, do you think?
He needs to definitely gain strength and work on his handle. But I think he is on the radar, and like, there were people there watching him. So, yeah, I mean, it was lucky because it was close to the PK Invitational, so – I think there might have been more scouts there than there might have been otherwise, especially since it was great because they had the Iowa State, Oregon State at one, and then the Oregon or Boise State Oregon game at eight, so you could easily make the trip from Corvallis to Eugene, and quite a few people did.
Yeah, I remember that on Twitter. And real quick, want to go back to Halliburton because I want to get more of your thoughts. So Tyrese Halliburton, 6'5", sophomore from Iowa State, was a three-star prospect coming into last year. And when you look at just his overall stats, he averaged 7 points, 3.6 rebounds, 3.4 rebounds, 3.6 assists. Shot over 40% from three, but played 33 minutes, had really good efficiency numbers, and then really blew up over the summer playing for the U19 team. But he had one of the top offensive ratings in all of college basketball last year, and now has been projected as a near lottery pick and has put up great numbers all around. So tell me, you know, I know you love wingspans. What's his wingspan, and how does he go from a three-star kid to lottery pick in 2 years?
I have a feeling he's a three-star because he probably just didn't get in front of the right people at the right time. But yeah, like, he fit into that Iowa State team really well last year. Like, a team that ended up having a bunch of guys who are, you know, either on two-way contracts or were drafted. But he, he just 6'5", I'd say like a plus 4 or 5 wingspan is what I'm predicting. Also, like, has like a little bit of bounce to him. He's just really not very physical. Doesn't get to the free throw line a ton. But he is just one of those guys who's like a consummate team player. Does a little bit of everything. Has a really good, like, nose for the ball, like, you know, getting steals and stuff like that, and creating events. And then, just really adept passer. And his shot doesn't look pretty, but it goes in. Like, you know, he shot 43% as a freshman. He's shooting 40% right now in the Oregon State game. So the big thing with him is just, like, how aggressive he's going to be. And, you know, if he's going to create off the bounce and everything. And he's, like, one of those guys who really lets the game come to him. So he just in the first half, I don't even know. Like, I think maybe he scored once or, like, I don't even know if he – no, I don't think he scored at all. and they weren't doing very well. And then he started looking for a shot, and I think he had like, you know, 16 or 17 points in the second half or somewhere around there. And he, the team was just so much better when he was aggressive. And it looks like he's just been that much more aggressive this year. Like they have these like, little like transfer guards that came in that, you know, are providing something, but they really need him to carry more of the offense this year. Like last year, you know, he had a bunch of guys that could score, like, you know, Mario Shayok and, Taylor Horton Tucker, Lindell Wigginton. But yeah, this year he's like the guy. And I think people are interested in seeing him do that. And I think he's done it pretty well. And they did lose to Oregon State, and, you know, Trey Stinkle, probably like, you know, the best guy on the court that game. But yeah, Halliburton was the guy that looks like a really good NBA prospect. And I just think he's, like, I would have him at least like mid first round right now, just based on him being like a big guard that you can, doesn't necessarily need the ball, can shoot a bit. And then he may not be a star, but I think he could be like one of those guys that they really crave, which is like a really solid role player.
All right. Well, I appreciate the insights. I think he's definitely an interesting player to keep watching, but a guy that you would hope could be a star based on where his current draft status is. James Wiseman, you got to watch, one of the few people that got to watch him live before he started to sit out for his, I believe, 12-game suspension. Mm-hmm. So Wiseman's a guy that, you know, everybody's had in their top two really since he stepped onto the high school scene. And there's been a lot of curiosity about him because, you know, at 7 foot or 7'1", whatever he actually is, he moves very well, but you're always left wanting a little bit more with him. And I think that was how he played in the game you saw, but what were your impressions and takeaways from watching Wiseman again in person?
Yeah. So it was a great game. It was like after all the stuff that had been going around with him, like, with the suspension and then with them getting like the stay. And I really didn't think he was going to end up playing. And I was very glad they did end up playing. So he has that, like, you know, obviously on his mind. Got into early foul trouble, but in the second half, like there were definitely a lot of positives. And he did end up finishing with like a double-double, 14 and 12. But he, there were a few things where you kind of worried about him, in particular, like just with general awareness. So defensively, for as well as he moves, he's kind of slow to react on certain plays, and then he jumps at like just about everything, and it's kind of infuriating. You're like, he is like 7'1", like you see him and he has an incredible body for basketball, and which is why I think, especially, I know he didn't really get to play anyone like outside of us, but like how well he did through his first few games, like it's kind of hard to completely discount him as a prospect, which like he's like this year's like polarizing draft Twitter prospect, because there are people on draft Twitter who like won't have him like top 20. And every other draft person I know, like you were saying, has him like top two. I would have him top five. But he, so there were plays on defense. There were a few plays where he didn't really like, you know, he had like a rebound in his area and he kind of let it slip out of his hand. So you wonder about that, because that's been like, you know, beyond that game, an issue with him as well. And then a couple times on offense, he had like a guard in front of him. And instead of like going and just saying like, oh, I can just shoot right over you, if somebody is in front of him, his like instinct seems to be to do that step back jumper. And it looks good because he's 7 feet and like it looks fluid, but you just kind of wonder why he's doing it, because he definitely doesn't need to, and his instinct should instead be to just shoot right over the top of whoever's there. Not like even take a dribble or even to pass it out. And that's another thing, like, you know, he has one assist in three games, and that's been another thing where, you know, people kind of wonder his ability to see the floor, which is not the end all be all for a center, but it's something that certainly is a positive quality. So I understand why there are Wiseman skeptics out there. I still think he is a tremendous talent, but after this game, you were left kind of pondering at least a few things as far as his potential upside, and, you know, if you would be so willing to take him over like a few of the other people at the top of the draft.
Well, some other guys that maybe not at the very top, but still interesting. This past Sunday, you made the trip up to Seattle to watch a fun Gonzaga versus Washington game with Gonzaga, you know, closing out a pretty big road win. Two interesting teams. What were some of your takeaways and thoughts from being at that one?
Well, first off, I want to say they should free BPJ. Brent, this is for you. But beyond that, it was a great game. Great atmosphere. And, I was very excited when Washington landed Isaiah Stewart and Jaden McDaniels, because I knew I'd have a chance to see them at least a few times. It was one of those games. I was always a guy that was really high on Isaiah Stewart, and I felt like he had a great game offensively. The scoreboard certainly shows that. He was 6-7 from the field, 9-10 from the line. So he got his individual offense going, but they use him. A friend was, I'll definitely give my friend credit for saying this, but it's something I've felt as well. They use him a lot like they use Noah Dickerson. He's like just like a better Noah Dickerson, which is like very much like a post-up option. So like he's constantly like – he's rarely like a few feet outside of the key. And they try and just get it to him with like the post position. The thing I really noticed with him is he had so much trouble – protecting the rim, and he has like a 7'4" 7'5" wingspan, so I just thought he would be a little bit better there, and I think I maybe even, like, you know, when I'd seen him, I thought he was a little bit better there, but yeah, he definitely had issues defensively there. Gonzaga's big men are like their main guys right now are both really good, and so it was tough for him to step out on those guys. He had a couple, like, you know, nice little contests here and there, but for the most part, like, people could just kind of go right over him. And I in a zone, I was surprised he didn't end up with, like, a single block shot. And there were, like, lots of noticeable, like, plays where they just went right through him. Jaden McDaniels he's one of those guys who's, like, you know, basically been a wing for them so far. And you sort of envision him maybe being a four, because you feel like he could maybe take advantage with, like, you know, his size and maybe like a little of some of his athletic traits better there. But his body, he has so little on his frame right now, and he ended up like passing pretty well. He had a couple jumpers off the dribble that were fantastic. He had a baseline dunk that was, like, you know, definitely hyped up the fans, and ended up being 6-10 and, you know, finishing with a pretty good stat line. But he's been averaging like just I think 4 and a bit turnovers. He had 5 turnovers in the game, and I think his handle needs a lot of work. His shot inconsistent, and like he'll settle for like long twos, which is not something that you want in this modern age of NBA basketball. And it is something that he can definitely work on. But yeah, they both had good games against Gonzaga, but I felt like Washington as a team like struggled with like cohesion, and they weren't necessarily like looking out for everybody. Like it was kind of looking out for themselves. And that goes along with like, you know, a guy who I know is on NBA radars right now in Naz Carter, who also had a pretty good game, hit like two huge threes to keep Washington in it near the end. And is really good in transition. Has his moments defensively as well. But he just has these like situations where he'll completely be looking to score and will miss like, you know, a better opportunity for a terrible contested shot. And yeah, like, you know, it's something that they can definitely build on, but Gonzaga was the better team. It was still a really competitive game, and it was great to be able to go there and see them live. But yeah, I saw a lot of the warts that people are kind of worried about as far as those guys' pro prospects.
All right. Well, staying on Gonzaga, and you've been able to see a lot of good talent more than I have in person so far, but hopefully that'll change as the Pac-12 action heats up, and hopefully it's a little more competitive than last year. But in terms of going back to a little segment from last year of a buy sell, I'm going to give you three teams. So with the first team, sticking with one of the ones you just saw, Gonzaga, rated number 8 in KenPom at 10-1, and they have UNC coming out to play them next week. So as a team overall right now, are you buying or selling Gonzaga for the rest of the season?
I think I'm going to actually sell Gonzaga. And it's tough to say because I do think they're a pretty solid team. And certainly like their front court is really, really good. But yeah, I wonder about their backcourt. And I love that Mark Few scheduled like a, you know, some nice non-conference games for them. And I'm sure that Gonzaga is going to run through the WCC again. But I wonder how they're going to do in the non-conference games. I felt like Oregon challenged them really well. And then they got dropped by Michigan. And I think that the other teams at least have a chance against them with how well Washington played also. So I'm going to sell them as a contender, but I'm like, you know, they're still going to be a good team this year.
Yeah. So before North Carolina next Wednesday, they actually go to Arizona this week, which should be a really entertaining, good offensive game. But I've been surprised at, you know, I definitely thought they would struggle with everything they lost, but they've been able to, you know, one, you mentioned the bigs, and Petrusev has played really well, as has Killian Tilly, who was really injured the majority of last year. Then you have Drew Timmy, a freshman, coming off the bench, but guard play has been pretty strong between the French guy, Ayayi, who's played really well, stepping into a larger role. Then you have the grad transfer and Admon Gilder from Texas A&M. And then you have Ryan Woolridge, who I would say is one of maybe the few grad transfers that has been able to step up, going from low major basketball to high major basketball. And he's definitely produced so far. So, and then you have another guy, Anton Watson, who was a pretty highly ranked freshman, you know, still not really making the impact, one injuries, but they do have a lot of pieces, and they've been able to put them together pretty quickly, which I guess they've been used to doing the last few years. So Arizona and North Carolina will be interesting. Then obviously the West Coast Conference, where they will most likely run through that. I could see them, you know, maybe at BYU or I'd say Mary's or even at Pepperdine could give them a slight problem. But once again, they'll run through that conference, I think, pretty handily. So you're selling them, and I'm already forgetting the other two teams we talked about. But
sorry, just quickly about Gonzaga. I'm just looking at, like, you know, the numbers there, and one of the guys that stood out during that game was Joel Ayayi, as you were saying, and he started in place of Gilder, and he hit the three, like, near the end, that, like, just was the complete dagger, like, completely sealed the game. Even though Killian Tilly hit, like, the actual game winner a little before that. But I loved Ayayi's passing, and then I saw him play against Oregon and Michigan as well, and he's been a guy who's been impressive to me so far. And then Petrushev is, like, just can really shoot the ball, and has been their leading scorer this year. Very solid. And then I thought Killian Tilly was great against Washington. Like, he did a little bit of everything, really smart player. I know he's had his history of injuries. He doesn't have, like, the best body, but he's still a guy who I think is going to eventually, like, you know, be drafted and have at least, like, some years in the NBA. So, yeah, like, they are, like, they're good. I don't love Ryan Woolridge, at least from what I've seen so far. And yeah, like, I just kind of wonder about the consistency, and it'll really be up to how they play against these, non-conference schools. But yeah, they have, two really good games coming up with, North Carolina and, Arizona.
All right. Well, I'm going to go probably what's soon to be the number one team in Ohio State. And this was a team I was a little skeptical on last week, and then saw them absolutely dismantle UNC in the Dean Dome. And I'm curious your thoughts on the Ohio State Buckeyes.
With what they've been doing, you kind of have to buy. They look like they've just got a lot of solid, like, you know, Caleb Wesson's been the star, and just kind of a movable object down there. As their center. And then, like, you know, you have a guy like DJ Carton stepping up. A lot of solid defenders and really solid role players. Another freshman who I know has been looking really good is EJ Liddell. And Ohio State has just kind of gone through whoever they've faced so far and in impressive fashion. And I think they could be legit. So, yeah, I'm going to buy Ohio State right now.
So you're buying them, although you were initially tempted to sell on every team in college basketball this year.
I did mention that before, but, you know, I feel like I can't be a total contrarian here. So I'll buy the team that is probably going to move into number one pending any monumental upset.
All right. Last team for you. I'll go with the Kansas Jayhawks.
And
they sit at 8-1 currently. Their lone loss was their first game of the year, 2 points to Duke in Madison Square Garden. And they haven't, you know, they went through the Maui Invitational, beat Dayton in overtime, but haven't really played anybody besides those two games, I would say. But
don't hate on Colorado, Sean. But
well,
no, so I get you.
And a subpar Pac-12 team.
Yeah, exactly. And I just haven't been blown away by Kansas this year, and I think the rest of college basketball is, as a, you know, kind of on the subject of selling everybody, there isn't that one dominant team this year, for sure. And I don't think Kansas is necessarily that team. They were really good in Maui. They got that nice, like, you know, Chaminade draw and everything like that.
Right.
But, yeah, Michigan State certainly wish they would have gotten into that side of the bracket. But, yeah, I'm not sold on Kansas being the contender that I think some people think they are for winning Maui. And I had a friend that went to the game against Colorado, and he was really impressed by the team. Devin Dotson, Udoka Azubuike, I think it's Agbaji. Agbaji has been playing really well also. And, you know, they certainly do have a few guys, and been a really interesting freshman in Tristan Anaruna. But, yeah, I feel like they could be a team that, like, after watching them play against Duke, even in that Dayton game where they, you know, kind of were right on the edge there, we'll just see how healthy they are. And then if they keep playing two bigs together, that was my other thing with them. Like, you know, when they were playing, like, Udoka Azubuike and, like, David McCormick, and or, like, even if they play, like, Silvio, the thing I kind of like is if they play, like, Udoka and, like, Anaruna, that would make it a bit more interesting. But I don't know if the two bigs is necessarily going to help them maintain, like, being the contender. So do I buy them to win the Big 12? I think they'll at least, like, you know, be back in the thick of things. But I'm not sure I buy them as a contender, so I will choose the sell option.
All right, you got selling two, buying one. I think if we had done this before today, I would have been selling both Louisville, who was number one, as well as Maryland, two undefeated teams. Louisville, really strong defensively and have played fairly well. Somewhat of a weak schedule. I'd say they caught Michigan on a good one. Today, Texas Tech, they had one player with an offensive rating over 100, went 3 of 17.
Yeah.
Three. So I think they'll be in the top tier of the ACC, but in terms of talking about them as a top team, you know, maybe not quite yet. And then Maryland was playing on borrowed time with their schedule and how they had played before losing to Penn State today. But I know you had a few other teams that you were curious about.
Yes, I have teams for you to buy or sell, Mr. Sean Moran.
All right, I'm ready.
What are your thoughts on DePaul?
DePaul, ooh. DePaul. So back in my Chicago days, I was always picking DePaul in one of my college basketball pools, low cost, and they would always disappoint me winning two games in the Big East. But now with a new gym, and players that maybe should have gone there at the beginning of their careers, they are fairly fun to watch. So it was the Ohio State UNC game last week that I was watching, but kept, you know, turning over to the DePaul game on FS1, and it was a lively crowd at Wintrust Arena, much better than going out by O'Hare to watch a game. And you had some fun players to watch. I mean, you have Charlie Moore, Chicago kid from Morgan Park that went to Cal and then ended up at Kansas. And now he's back in Chicago playing fairly well, but an entertaining short little guy to watch. And then you've got Paul Reed, 6'9" junior, who's been playing out of his mind. You've got Romeo Weems, an interesting freshman that was probably a little, I'd say, underranked, but could definitely be getting some potential draft interest down the road. You know, I know he kind of pissed off Tom Izzo by not going to Michigan State. And then you have Jalen Coleman-Lands, who has been around the block for a while, you know, played in the EYBL way back in the day and ended up at Illinois. Yep, Illinois. Didn't really have the season people thought. So, yeah, I'm buying DePaul. I mean, not buying them to win the championship or anything like that, but I think they, you know, they're a fun team to watch and definitely have some talent and could potentially give some lifeblood to getting some of the top kids out of the city of Chicago going forward.
Yeah. And I think it's Lato, Dave Lato,
yep.
The coach. Yeah. He's done a tremendous job. They are a very fun team to watch. And I like, you know, DePaul's going to be back in the tournament. That's, I think, at the very least. So, yeah, I think good idea to buy that. So I don't know if you're familiar with this next team, but the North Carolina Tar Heels. Are you buying or selling that institution?
Well, this year I have to say I'm not familiar with them because they play, you know, right now they are the slowest tempo team in the Roy Williams era. They are also the worst shooting team in the Roy Williams era. And I think a lot of people are questioning if they will even make the tournament. Luckily they have a win against your Oregon Ducks. So hopefully they perform well over the Pac-12.
I certainly hope they do.
Because that's going to be one of their key wins. So before I get to the answer, you know, they're coming off their, what has to be one of their worst weeks in program history, but at the same time, you know, they're playing the top two defensive teams. You know, I think going into the year, they lost a lot of talent and they picked up two grad transfers as well as Cole Anthony, but there is still a ton of questions of where does the scoring come from? And right now you have a guy, Cole Anthony, projected top five pick, who came out, had an amazing first game of the year, but has had a historically high usage rate and has definitely felt the pressure the last few games. You know, I've always liked him coming into the year and in high school, definitely haven't loved him like some other people have. You know, I think if he's not the quickest off the dribble in terms of just blowing by people, I still think he can find ways to get into the basket and finish a little better. You know, I think he hopefully will improve his free throw shooting, definitely leaving points on the board, but it's really the wings in terms of where UNC can hopefully find scoring. You know, initially it was Brandon Robinson who was out, and right now a senior that you're kind of expecting to step up is shooting under 30% from three. So they'll definitely need him to get going. You know, Leaky Black is 6'8", but how does he kind of fit into the offense? He kind of needs the ball in his hands at times, but once again, loves to take the 18-foot mid-range jump shot. And then you have the grad transfers that haven't been able to step up. On the bright side, you have Armando Bacot, who had his best game of the year against Oregon. And I still don't know how this is possible, but, you know, he played 7 minutes against Ohio State, twisted his ankle, which looked extremely bad. And I was expecting him to be out 2 to 3 weeks. And all of a sudden he's starting against Virginia and scoring 11 points. So he's been a bright spot. And I think, you know, between him and Cole, you know, hopefully they can kind of form a good relationship, but it's really the shooting and a lot of the other key tenets of basketball that are going to make it a long, long season. So overall, I'm selling, but I think probably everybody is selling the Tar Heels right now. So while selling, I still think they can go into Gonzaga and potentially pull off an upset. So I'm selling overall, but, you know, not jumping off the ledge like a lot of people, although I think it will be a challenge for them to make the tournament. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think that outside of Cole Anthony, it's going to be a very long season.
And Armando?
Mondo against Oregon was tremendous. one thing I will say about Mondo, too, is the USA Basketball the year before, he was out like the first couple days, and like there were pretty much everybody was out those like at one point, and where there were just tons of guys injured, and Mondo was like the one guy who came back that last day and was like, yeah, I want to play. Like, you know, I'm in this. So I guess I'm not like really surprised that he would, you know, kind of deal with that adversity. And with somebody that I know that like all the people that I talk to seem to really think highly of him, and Cole Anthony being one of them. And yeah, it seems like outside of Cole, it's been so tough. Plus the fact that Cole is kind of struggling to get to the, or at least like, you know, finish at the level one kind of expected from him, and isn't even shooting as well as you would think he was, even though it's not bad, certainly, like, and is kind of like their one bright spot on high volume from 3-point range. But yeah, the guys outside there, like, I'm guessing you expected like way more out of like a guy like Christian Keeling, and Robinson, you expect a little more from him as well.
Well, definitely expected more from Robinson. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt since he was injured early in the year, but you know, he needs open jump shots to affect the game. He's not going to take you off the dribble. Christian Keeling, I think he was rated, ESPN had him as the number 4 grad transfer, and I'm usually very suspicious of grad transfers coming from the lower D1 range, but you know, he did have good games against some top competition and shot the ball very well from the wings, but right now he just looks lost and looks extremely small. I know he's listed at 6'3", 180, but he looks, you know, 6'1", 150 almost, and has just not looked comfortable. So maybe, you know, if UNC doesn't really have any more, I mean, they've got Wofford and Yale besides Gonzaga and UCLA, so not a whole lot of games to kind of get right before the ACC. Luckily, their first half of the schedule is pretty, you know, welcoming. And I do think they're going to have to, you know, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, if they can get, you know, one or two outside shots from him, that would be key. But right now he's a 67 offensive rating. His synergy numbers are even worse. You know, one of the guys though that did get in against the in the UVA game was Anthony Harris, and he's not going to really help them from a shooting perspective, but he's coming off, I think, an ACL injury, so he hasn't played in about a year, and provided some energy, plays hard, plays aggressive. So I think he can provide a different dynamic, but not somebody that's going to open the floor up for everybody else.
Yeah, well, you know, at least they have another piece to kind of play around with. The last team for buy or sell for you, sir, is Arizona. What do you think of the Wildcats so far?
Well, it's amazing what talent can do. Last year you had an Arizona team that went 8-10 in a pretty poor Pac-12. But once again, they had lost a lot from the year before, with DeAndre Ayton and a bunch of others. And just from a talent perspective, I mean, similar to UNC, just didn't have what they're accustomed to. And then they go and get 5 stars in Nico Mannion, who is, you know, one of the, you know, quickest and most explosive guards there is. And then you have Josh Green and Zeke Nnaji, who I think has outperformed anybody's expectations with the energy that he brings. And you have some guys off the bench. So I'm buying Arizona. I think they'll do very well in the Pac-12 as usual. But once again, can you really buy Sean Miller in the tournament? That is a no. So it'll be a good regular season, and then something will come up in the tournament. But that's a long way away. They've got Gonzaga, St. John's, and then the Pac-12, and they're much more interesting team to watch than last year. So I'm going to buy them. So buying two, selling one, and you're buying one, selling two. I guess with that, just want to touch on, you know, I briefly mentioned Louisville and Maryland tonight, but I know you were watching some of the games. What were your thoughts on any of the games you watched tonight?
Baylor's solid. They
had a good week.
Like, yeah, they seem like, yeah. And they've played like a pretty decent schedule so far. Jared Butler is off to a really good start. He looks like a legit, you know, scorer in college. He didn't have a great game tonight, but he's been a bright spot for them. They have a few big guys who are, you know, good story that Freddie Gillespie. And I think he was like, yeah, like just kind of one of those made it up from a smaller school. And now he's starting for a, like, you know, legit top, like, 15 team. And so, yeah, it was good to see them get that another big win. But, yeah, I don't know. I still feel like Kansas will be better, and I'm not sure if either are, like, long-term, like, you know, title contenders this year. Yeah, that Texas Tech over Louisville, too, was that was a cool game and kind of amazing considering that Jamias Ramsey wasn't playing. And
well, you know who, yeah, I do like on Texas Tech.
Aaron Shannon.
Yep. Yep.
Read your mind.
A little Mac Irvin Fire connection right there.
Yeah.
But speaking of him, and I know you'd love following the draft, but not to put you on the spot, but are there any other players that, you know, you kind of maybe like more than others or have been or are interested in watching, you know, over the next few weeks of the 2019 calendar year?
Yeah, I want to see a bit more of Tyler Bay. I feel like he's gotten off to a solid start this year, and it seems like he's actually, like, you know, doing some shooting this year. So that's been a guy who is at least on my radar. Yeah, another guy I like quite a bit also is Paul Reed. And yep. But as you were mentioning earlier with DePaul, and just one of those, like, you know, solid, like, big men prospects, and then he's creating, like, plenty of defensive events. And now they're, like, a fun team to watch. He's really at the forefront there. And, yeah, another couple guys I'm really looking forward to seeing when they come here is Onyeka Okongwu from your last school that you went to, USC. And he has, from everything I've seen and heard, looks like a legit, like, you know, big man prospect this year. Moves his feet really well, provides quite a bit of rim protection, and doing some things offensively as well. So
yeah, I watched
quite a bit more.
I've only been to one USC game, well, one regular season, then their scrimmage against Villanova, but He moves extremely well, and the game I watched, he had 33 points against Pepperdine and shot 21 free throws. So, great kind of rim runner, pick and roll, throw it up, pretty athletic, and will be interesting to see how he continues to play over the rest of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And then a guy that I think I should mention, he's getting, like, plenty of hype now. And, like, you know, Jay Billis was calling him, like, a no-brainer top 10 pick. I'm not sure I'm that high on him yet, but he's always been a guy that, like, from the first time I saw him, just kind of, like, jumped off the screen athletically. And certainly, like, you know, he's pretty explosive, has some shooting ability, and that is Obadiah Obi Toppin from Dayton. And he was, like, if he wasn't the star of Maui, he certainly was up there, and had a couple very impressive performances there. but also showed, like, you know, against Kansas, like, his limitations possibly as, like, a post defender. And I don't know if he has the ball skills to work out on the wing. He ultimately seems to be a four. And, yeah, like, his lateral quickness isn't necessarily the greatest, but certainly, like, his vertical athleticism is stands out. And he has been very, very solid this year and looks like he's a legit college All-American at the very least. And seems like, you know, if he's not a no-brainer, like, lottery pick, he's going to go first round, like, unless something catastrophic happens, which very hopefully will not.
Yeah, and he was a guy that tested last year, and I think you had a record number of people that declared early. And you really had a lot of people that stayed in. And for the most part, they're primarily playing in the G League now. Didn't get drafted, but I know I saw a Fran Fraschilla tweet, I think, yesterday. But, you know, I think that's a big reason why college basketball is down, is because you had a record number of people leave, and the majority of them didn't even get drafted. But he's one guy that came back, and now we'll see a significant boost in his potential career earnings because of that and his performance early. But yeah, he was fun to watch in Maui. You know, great size, length, moves really well, runs the floor, can shoot. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he progresses, especially in conference play. A-10, not the strongest conference, but definitely one with a decent amount of talent in there. So it'll be interesting to see how he continues to perform. One last guy I want to ask you about, because I haven't really watched Vanderbilt this year, but I keep seeing his scoring exploits and how well he's shooting the ball, and he seems to be moving up the draft. But Aaron Naismith is a 6'6 sophomore, and, you know, last year Vanderbilt really highly touted recruiting class with Darius Garland coming in, then you had Simi Shittu, and then you had Naismith, who didn't really get the attention. But I remember him at USC, really strong physical guy, athletic and good shot. Do you think that's enough to warrant a first round pick, or does he need a little more, you know, off the dribble ability?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that he probably needs to show a little bit more before he would warrant that. Certainly, like, you know, from a raw, like, statistics perspective, he's putting up, like, crazy numbers right now. He's making, like, 4.4 three-pointers per game at 51.5%, like, shooting close to 80% from the free throw line. So the guy can get buckets. It's just about all the other things. And certainly looks like, you know, he's doing a decent job, like, as far as the raw defensive statistics. But, yeah, like, you know, and part of it is probably because of how much they rely on him offensively. But it seems like, you know, in terms of playmaking for others and, like, even in rebounding, like, they don't really pop off as much as you would want it to, considering how strong he is. So, yeah, like, you know, that's something to look at. But, yeah, he's absolutely on the radar. And it seemed like, I know last year he was still, a lot of people were talking about him as well. And it seems like he's taken, like, that next step this year to be their primary offensive option, and to possibly even win, like, a few games in the SEC, which they did not do last year. So, yeah, he's one to definitely monitor, but you'd like to see a little bit more of an all-around game before you know, basically, like, slated him as a first-round pick.
Fair enough. Well, that's why we turned to the draft guru to get those insights. So, with that, we'll wrap up, I guess, the first edition of the Sean Moe Hoops pod for the actual 2019-20 season. A little late in the game, but now that we've kicked the rust off, can hopefully keep going. Mikey V is going to keep going to games, and I'll be getting out to more, and there'll be a lot more to talk about as we, you know, we've already entered conference play, which really started the first day of the year, but now we'll get into the thick of things, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, who continues to stay at the top and who falls out. But it was fun listening to, you know, a lot of the top ranked players you got to see, as well as some of the games you got to catch in person. So as always, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Really looking forward to what you're going to, Sean. And yeah, great to be back on the Sean Moe Hoops pod.
Sounds good. So with that, we wrap up another edition of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast, and we'll catch you guys next week.